But the timing of it was actually really perfect because influencing kind of started to take off in 2019, 2020, you know, because of the lockdown, everyone was on social media. So stuff took off. And now everybody's like, oh my gosh, I built this thing. I need help. What do I do?
The world has changed so much. Everything's online and everyone's attention span has shortened. Instagram, TikTok is now the way we communicate.
Hi, I'm Margaret.
And I'm Stetson, the mother-daughter team at Everything Envy.
Former professional home organizers turned content creators.
In this podcast, we talk about the behind the scenes of our growing business and how we figure out how to navigate through the constant changes in social media.
Welcome to the Everything Envy podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. And I'm so excited to finally announce our interview with Amy of Abide Outsourcing. We have talked about Amy for, what has it been, a year and a half ever since we started working with Amy. If you've been a longtime listener of the podcast, then you know we've talked about Amy a lot. Amy runs our team. She's involved with all the behind the scenes of Everything Envy, and we finally had a chance to interview her. Amy is the founder and the CEO of Abide Outsourcing, which is a creative outsourcing agency for influencers. Along with her team, Amy helps established influencers to own their audience, extend their reach, and free up their time through various done-for-you services like email marketing, blogging, video editing. Her primary goals are to provide a well-rounded suite of offers so her clients can get all they need in one place and to create an environment where her clients have peace of mind knowing that she and her team understand our world and will always work with excellence and integrity. Amy also is the host of the Peaceful Entrepreneur podcast, which I highly recommend. I listen to it. I get so much value out of it. And it's a space where overwhelmed entrepreneurs can find community and tools in order to shift their mindset and find peace on a daily basis as they build their businesses. What we love a lot about Amy is she is just a person that connects with those kind of people that you need to connect with. And so she does that also on her podcast. She connects different listeners in her weekly episodes and through her emails and her newsletters to get just what every listener needs. She gets whatever influencer needs. I can just go on and on about Amy. So without further ado, I am going to start the interview so that you can enjoy all the goodness that we had with Amy.
Cool. We're so excited to finally have Amy here on our podcast. Amy, we have been talking about you on our podcast for
every episode
ever since we met you and started working with you. Mm-hmm. We have, and you, as you know, we have sent so many clients your way because we're like, you got to work with Amy. But we're so excited to talk about like outsourcing and why it's important and how it's been helping our business. And you had just said before we started recording how much you've evolved and how much you've learned over the years that you've been doing your business. So why don't you kick it off? Tell us about yourself. Tell us like how you got into this business and let people know who you are and get to know you a little bit.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor, first of all, and it's an honor to work with you guys in general. And it's just been the best time over the last year and a half that we've gotten to kind of build our relationship and help build each other's businesses, literally, which is like the coolest thing. But I've been in business for 3 years. And so I started in February of 2021 as a virtual assistant. And as I kind of just got some experience under my belt, I started to figure out what kind of services I liked to provide and what kind of people I liked to work with. Because I kept it pretty open at the beginning. I just kind of did everything and worked with everyone, which is good. Experimental phase is important, but I, you know, all good things must come to an end. If we're going to scale, if we're going to grow, we have to scale down and make some decisions. So after about a year, I knew that I liked influencers, and I had kind of always been interested in working with influencers just because I enjoy consuming influencer content. And so right when I started my business, I was like, I'm just going to shoot my shot. So I emailed about 10 influencers and I made like personalized pitches and actually personalized videos for every single one of them. And it's so interesting. I emailed about 10 people. After a follow-up, I got 3 responses. And out of those 3, 1 became a discovery call, which became a client. So that's kind of how I broke into the influencer space. And from there, literally connection of connection, because someone I knew from them is the person who connected me to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to remember how we got the connection. Like, right. Who found you for us?
Was it Jen?
It was Jen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Jen. Our old brand manager, Jen.
Yep. Yeah. And she used to work with that initial first client that I had as well.
Yeah.
And so when she saw you guys post that you needed someone, she connected us.
And it was a perfect fit. And you have found perfect fits for all the job needs that we have.
Yeah.
And when you talk about like niching down to just work with influencers, I mean, as business owners, it's so important, isn't it, to just niche down and find who you love to work with and what you enjoy doing. Because I know when we initially spoke about being, when you were a virtual assistant, how you were really good at what you did, but it wasn't like filling the passionate side of what you really enjoyed. Is that kind of what
I'm curious on how you even like before, because I know like how, what made you want to become a virtual assistant? What were you doing before? I don't even think I know this. Like, what were you up to? Were you working?
I started at the beginning of the business, but there's a lot of story before that.
Yeah.
I decided freshman year of high school that I wanted to be a sign language interpreter. Because I'd always been interested in learning different languages. And so the second I got a chance to get in Spanish class, I did. So I was really hardcore on Spanish in high school, and I was pretty much fluent by the time I came out of high school. So I was like dedicated to learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so sign languages was also an interest, but I just didn't have an opportunity to formally learn it. And so I did the musicals in high school, and we have a deaf school about 45 minutes from the high school that I went to. So they actually invited the deaf school to come see our show. So they brought in 3 interpreters to interpret the show, and they came like a few weeks before to practice with us. And I didn't have a major role, so I was just out there like mesmerized by the interpreters. Wow. And I was like, I want to do that. And when you think about it, like in my personality traits, like that does make a lot of sense for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like outgoing and, you know, clear communication is important. And I talk with my hands anyways all the time.
I do too.
And, you know, I'm very ethical, and there's a lot of like HIPAA confidentiality stuff when it comes to interpreting. So it made a lot of sense. And so I just dedicated myself to that for literally 8 years. I decided where I'd go to college because I had to find a good program, because there's not a ton of schools that, first of all, even have a 4-year degree for interpreting.
So question, are you fluent in sign language still?
I'm also fluent. Yes.
Mm-hmm. See, we didn't know this. I didn't know any of this.
No.
Yep.
And so also funny that you did musicals. Like I grew up doing musicals.
And that you played bass guitar, because I heard that on one of your podcasts. Guitar.
Singing, yeah.
I played volleyball in high school too. So I would always do volleyball in the fall and the musicals in the spring.
We have all these meetings with you, and we're always talking about what we're doing in the future and planning, but we never get a chance to really get to the nitty gritty of who you are as a person.
I'm excited to visit you guys, because I'm like, we can just like talk and like get to know each other on a different level and just hang out. And I'll just
hang out here at the studio and have a sleepover. Like, you could stay here. We'll just stay late, order in. And
we sing Christmas carols at retirement homes when we were kids, and we would learn the sign language to go along with the song.
Love that.
Yeah. Like, I still remember Silent Night, the part of it. Anyway, you know, that was, we had a sign language teacher because Stetson was homeschooled. So we had a sign language teacher that we would meet with at this one retirement home, Oak Lane Retirement Home.
I think I know the alphabet. Maybe it's still.
Really? You might, because you were young enough to learn.
Don't quiz me though.
But yeah.
My sister does.
That's so cool. I mean, what else don't we know about you?
So you went to college for a 4-year degree, but you, so, okay.
So that's where left
off. So I got it. I have a 4-year, I have a bachelor's degree in sign language interpreting.
Wow.
And my minor was Spanish.
Oh, and yeah. You're fluent in Spanish.
I'm sure I've got the trilingual thing going on.
What kind of classes did you take for that?
Oh, it was so cool. The first 2 years was a lot of language learning. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I literally took like linguistics and like you have to be taught how to interpret. Like it's not just like hearing something and spitting it out. Like there's a very specific process that has to happen in your head. So I had a lot of classes on that, a lot of cultural education because deaf people have their own culture as well. Interesting. So you have to learn about that and be sensitive to that. There's a like kind of a spectrum of language as well because sign language is its own language. It's not like a version of English on your hands. It's like its actual own language. But there are some variations where sometimes people will use signs in sign language, but they'll sign in English order. Hmm. That's not technically how you do it. Like their sentences are structured completely differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Slang version, huh?
Yeah, there's slang terms, there's dialects in different parts of the country. I mean, there's so many things to learn and we're trained to like observe whoever we're working with because we don't know where they're coming from or what spectrum of the language they use. So we had to pick up on it and then match it. Mm-hmm. And then not to mention, we could be interpreting in a school, in a medical setting, on a phone call, in a lawyer, like legal situation. Yeah. So then we have to learn about all those things.
That sounds so
they
complex.
Talk about how you're like kind of a jack of all trades, master of, you know, a little bit about a lot of things.
No wonder because you're so good at like, we spit out 100 things and you're like, okay, so here's this, and done. I'm like, what? How do you like take an hour and a half conversation? And you're like, okay, here's your to-do list.
Yes, that makes total sense. Yeah, because you have been trained to interpret all of us. Even though we're speaking English, we're not using sign language, but you have been trained to interpret each and every one of us.
It's true.
And extract the important stuff.
It's a good point.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so weird when you look at all the things that you've done, like, and like, again, you're like, okay, it's a very specific degree, but you're like, oh, I did this, you know, obviously for a reason. And you're using so many of those tools now. Exactly. Same with my degree. Like I use mine. Like I'm so happy. I majored in design in college and I minored in business. My plan was to do the opposite. And I learned, like, I still use so many of the tools that I learned in college.
I love that.
Yeah. My college training is in architecture and I still use the tools for architecture all the time. Mm-hmm. Everything. That's so I'm constantly reminded of things that I've learned that I'm still using today. And I'm grateful for that experience.
Yeah. It all
and
has
that,
a purpose.
So we just set our little platforms, you know, all our little foundations, and then we just build it from there. And the more experience, the better.
Manage a bunch of different things at once, which is what like you're extremely good at too. Like I'm sure your degree helped a lot with that.
It did. Like,
because your brain got used to juggling all the thoughts that now you can juggle all the pieces.
Yeah, right.
Externally.
So true. College is where I met Luke.
Okay.
And so we met right away, like freshman year, first semester.
Aww.
I love that picture of you two, the before, like then and now. Oh, you guys are so sweet.
So cute. Tiny. I might have missed it. I might have missed it. How long have you been together?
8 years.
Okay.
Brandon, so we dated Brandon 3.5.
We've been together for 10 years.
I know.
I don't know if you saw that. Crazy. I'm going by so quick because I met Brandon in college too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Early on.
Yeah. Since I was 16.
Yep. So we dated all the way through and got married the September after we had graduated in May. Mm-hmm. And so now this September will be 5 years of marriage.
Mm-hmm. And we're still getting married. Good fit.
We love it. We got married in my hometown, Asheville, North Carolina, so in the mountains. And it was this gorgeous venue that was an indoor-outdoor. So we had the ceremony outdoors overlooking these beautiful pastures and mountains. And then they had a barn that they had built as a reception venue.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I love those kind of venues.
Yes. And so it was right before COVID. So we had like 215 people just hanging out. I know. And so we had quite a journey. We lost Luke's dad 6 weeks after we got married.
Oh, I don't know if y'all knew that.
So that was like a super significant part of our story. He was sick for about a year and we actually were expecting him to recover.
Yeah.
And it was basically that his body was so worn down that it just got to the point where he couldn't.
Oh.
So many things had happened. And so that was a big thing. And so that was November of 19. And then you all know what happened in March of 2020.
Yeah.
So we had quite the first year of marriage, but kind of that untraditional, like everyone's like, the first year of marriage is so hard. It's like, we were fine, but everything was going crazy. So
what were you both doing at the time then? Because you obviously hadn't started your virtual assistant business yet. So you're fresh out of college, newly married. And so what were you doing at the time?
Luke continued. He was in a retail position. So you guys are probably not surprised that he was in sales. He's just got that great personality.
Yeah.
So he was for a sporting goods store and he was their footwear specialist. So
I was a profiting specialist. See, we have so many things in common. It's so funny when we dive into it.
I know. I love it. So he continued that into COVID actually for a little while. So he was doing that. I worked at Starbucks for 4 months in the interim between graduating and marriage. And that's the longest anyone ever needs to work at Starbucks.
You got your feet wet as a barista and that's, you checked that off your bucket list.
Yes, exactly. And then I call myself the part-time job queen from graduating college until I started the business, because I nannied for a little bit.
Yeah.
Right after we got married. Like sweet little, like baby, 3 month old.
Oh, I could see you being a great nanny.
I love babies. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
So excited.
For all the babies that are going to be on our team.
Yes.
In one of our very first meetings with you early on, I remember you were babysitting or you had a baby. Mm-hmm. This adorable little, like 3 month old, and you were just holding her. Remember?
Yeah,
I do.
You were so precious.
Yeah. She was so sweet. And now I have some new babies. Some of our best friends just had twins. So we get to go see them all the time. But I did that. I got a event coordinator job for a conference. So I was doing kind of the admin for conference coordination. And that was my first touch into doing administrative work professionally. Because I had always done administrative volunteer positions in the past, because it is like a natural thing for me. But I'd never really entertained it as a job because I was so set on interpreting from when I was like 14. And so I did that. And then I actually did get another barista job at a much better coffee shop. And I worked that for a while. And I did interpret a little bit. So I did use my degree. I did get my provisional license, because you do have to have a license in North Carolina to practice. So I did some educational interpreting. Wasn't the right fit. And then I actually got my dream interpreting job. I'm saying that with quote unquote.
We all.
Yes.
And it was a job. It was phone call interpreting. It's called video relay. So how do deaf people make phone calls? They have an app on their phone that connects them via video to an interpreter. And then the interpreter hears the hearing person on the other end in a earpiece. And the interpreter signs and speaks back and forth to interpret the conversation.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. These things.
I mean, it totally makes sense.
Yeah. But these are the accommodations that people have that we know nothing about, because we don't have anybody in our family with these needs.
Yeah. But they are, I mean, it's a.
That's cool.
FTC pays for it. It's, you know, they don't have to pay for it. So, so I did that. And I thought that was, I mean, it's a cool job to have. It really is. But it's just a very high burnout rate job. Because you get on a phone call and however long it is, you hang up, you get about 12 seconds and another one comes in.
Oh.
And it's
and you're
like
just sitting at home, like waiting. It's just,
and it sounds like a lot of mental
back to back.
You're doing a lot of
mentally
work.
Exhausting. And you don't know what you're getting into until you literally pick up the phone.
Right.
You don't know if it's going to be a parent-teacher conference or a mom yelling at their kid, or, you know, like you just don't know.
Yeah.
So it's like very fast Crazy. Adaptation. So I just burnt out on that, honestly. And yeah, and so that's why it didn't end up being the dream job I thought it would be. So after I did all those things, then in January of 2021 is when I saw the video of someone talking about being a virtual assistant. And I was like, oh, this combines, because I liked my event coordination, what I was doing, but I did not like who I was working for. And I was already familiar with freelancing because interpreters freelance. Mm-hmm. Like I had already been like briefed on the taxes and the 1099s and all that stuff.
So you basically had the skill sets already.
Yeah. Yeah. So then when I saw the VA stuff, I was like, oh, I could do that.
Where did you see this video?
TikTok.
It was a TikTok.
A TikTok.
That's crazy.
2020 TikTok. There's some OG virtual assistant like people who were like really big.
Yeah, that's so crazy that you saw that one thing and that led to this.
Isn't
that wild?
Yeah.
I mean, I see those TikToks all the time. I'm sure we all do, where it's like, you can make whatever, you know,
or like,
this is how I
you're selling the business idea. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if I was to do a TikTok, like, you know, there's some money in Amazon. So,
yeah.
But it's crazy. Like,
that's what changed your mind and gave you the path.
And that you actually did it.
Yeah. Because that's what brought you on the path of where you are now. Now, I know you're not a virtual assistant now, but.
Right.
When we first met you, we were still Abide Virtual. And then you told us that you're going to be working on the name, you're kind of rebranding and
Abide.
We started working together when?
Abide Collective. 21? Weren't 21. We together in 20?
It was
like July,
it was
June?
Fall 22.
Fall 22.
22. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked for the first time in June of 22.
But,
I thought we hired you for the first Prime Day.
Yeah. I thought you were with us for the first Prime Day because I feel like the whole team was brand new.
Emily.
Was it?
Yeah.
No, I feel like somebody hit the ground running with us for one of those Prime Days. I felt like it was Eva.
Maybe it was just Emily. I don't know. It's all a blur.
Really?
I'm sure you would know better.
I remember
you would probably know better than us.
The first big push we did was the holiday season.
Okay.
Of 2022.
Oh, yeah, because we had Jen as a brand manager.
That makes sense. And we had our first combo in June. Huh. And then we were probably like, bringing on Emily, trying to figure out some stuff. And then we probably, that makes sense. Cause we like
we had
hit
Emily
the ground
first.
Running with you then. But I think we think it was like at the same time, cause we were like talking to you and all that.
That could be. So Emily was first in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the fall of 2022. Emily must've come on board with 2022 as well.
Or maybe end
that
of
was
summer.
An interesting year for us. I feel like it just came, went and we
that
don't
makes sense. Cause it's 2024. It's not 2023 anymore.
We've talked about this. That's I've talked about this before. Like, wait, what happened? I mean, so much happened in 2022 that we forgot the year.
Yeah,
right.
It was a weird transitional year for us. A lot of good things happened, but the timeline is all screwed up in our minds. Okay, we're back on track. Okay.
I have a cool background, though, that you guys might not know this part of the story with how you played into it and Luke coming on. So Luke, like I said, worked until about April, May of COVID at his store. And then they like, just, they were like, sorry guys, we're not going to be able to bring you in anymore. So he looked for a new job. He got a new full-time job in September. And so he worked that job for about 2 years. But even when we were dating, we knew that we liked the idea of working together on a business. Mm. We thought we wanted to be YouTubers. I do think that we could be entertaining enough to be YouTubers because he's hilarious.
Yeah,
but
this would be funny.
It's a lot of work. I do not want to be. Yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. But we knew we still wanted to work together, build something together, have that schedule freedom. And so we always knew that was the goal. And I had that initial client, influencer client that I mentioned to you guys that I'd worked with for a year and a half. I started with them in summer of 21. And so fast forward to fall 22, when you guys were coming on, was also when I was starting to get a bit overwhelmed with the workload, which is a good problem to have. Mm-hmm. And I'd already hired a couple contractors who were helping me, but I felt like I needed a different level of support. And it felt like the right time for Luke to come on. He was starting to feel a little bit of burnout with his job that he had been at for 2 years. And so we looked at the numbers and we were like, well, we can survive on what we're making. So I feel like it's time. And so he came on in the end of September, beginning of October of 2022. And at that time, as I was experiencing the burnout, I also had one of my first big like business transition revelations that I needed to move out of the hourly and into the package based offers. And I think my brain was starting to like figure out how I could scale this, you know, and there's only so many hours in a day and so many hours that one human can put into things. So packages has just made so much sense. And so thankfully I was able to kind of do that with you guys naturally because you were coming on as I was thinking of it.
Yeah.
But this previous client, I was going to have to fully just switch with them. And I wasn't really willing to do the grandfather thing. Like I really wanted to switch everything over. And so when I submitted my new proposal to them, they dropped me same day, no notice.
Whoa. Really?
Dang, that's crazy.
Halloween of 2022, they were like,
what? Especially after working with you for so long?
We don't want to work with you anymore. Yeah.
That's awful.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Wow.
And so this is October 31st. Luke had started October 1-ish. Right. And so we're like, that was most
like,
of our income. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
We start going, uh-oh.
Yeah. But, we're like,
But yeah. Those of us with positive mindsets know that when one door closes, like 10 other doors open up.
Can I even tell you that week you texted me and were like, hey, we want to kick up our promo for leading up to holidays. Can we do this, 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 and this?
Yeah.
We ended up making more from what we did for you guys than we would have in a normal month with that other client.
And probably working. Month. Well, I don't know if you were working less, but like it was the package thing. So you weren't like, okay, I have to put in this many hours of the day. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just like and got so November, what you needed to get done. Yeah.
November, December 2022 were our first five-figure months and our biggest months ever of the business.
That's so crazy.
And it came right after we got dropped.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
You guys came in.
And you're like, okay, I see.
And then we went to that.
I see what's going on.
And then in November, we went to our first Amazon event where we met Akita, Style Akita, yes. Lifestyle, and a couple of others. And
oh,
I don't know all of them
the
that came on right away, but I know.
Akita and DeVita both came on in December.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we were talking you up and they were excited.
Because that was like our first influencer event. And we were like, I don't know. I was just like, I've never hung out with other influencers. I don't know. I'm like, we're regular people. Everyone in the program is so extremely nice. But I remember I thought it was how it's so interesting that no one had help. Like no one had an assistant. No one had anything. And everyone was shook that we had people that were helping us like do all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I was and like, it's literally like the best thing ever.
And now it is kind of coming back to me that we had been fairly new with you that year.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was in November.
But right. People were saying, what? You have somebody that's responding to your comments. Of course, we have something doing it differently now. But
like updating the storefront. I'm like, yeah, they just updated for us.
They were doing and wearing all the hats like we were until we found you. And so, like they didn't hesitate. I know the conversation started right away.
Even from then to now, like, I feel like the influencer world has changed so much because now I feel like more and more I'm hearing, you know, influencers having help or like having studios, for instance, like Anka, our friend who we interviewed a couple weeks ago, she has like half her house is a studio, like for work, like the couches, the kitchens, she does not use them. You can't sit in them.
Mm-hmm.
It's for the studio, right? Mm-hmm. So more and more it's becoming like this regular thing to have like a team around you, I feel like.
Yes.
But even since the end of 2022, at least what we were experiencing, and especially you, that was really unheard of.
Yeah.
Of like having
help. Yeah. And this is totally like this is so cool that it worked out that way. And because I had no strategy with working with influencers other than I liked them.
Yeah.
So, but the timing of it was actually really perfect because influencing kind of started to take off in 2019, 2020. People were, you know, because of the lockdown, everyone was on social media, so stuff took off. And now everybody's like, oh my gosh, I built this thing. I need help. What do I do? Here mm-hmm. we are.
Yeah, because we hear other business owners talk.
So crazy.
And when Setson and I are in a high paid mastermind group, and we hear business owners talk about, you need a virtual assistant, you know, you need somebody to be checking your emails, you need this and that and the other. But in the influencer world, the needs are completely different and unique.
They are.
Mm-hmm. And the other part is that these needs are just coming out and evolving. Sometimes, like within a week or a couple of days, we have this new problem, this new trick, this new whatever you want to call it. And so we just have to deal with it. And that's the world of an influencer. Life is changing on the daily.
Yeah.
Yes.
And to have somebody in our corner like you, like we're going to talk about outsourcing now, why it's important as an influencer, but to have somebody in our corner who, because of all of your skills, and then you can see our problems before we even know it's a problem and try to find a solution before we even realize we need one.
Mm-hmm.
That's Love the it. Power of outsourcing as an influencer. Yes. That is the power.
Right. I love that.
You're the best. We say that every day. We're like, you're the best.
You're the best.
We literally say to everyone we meet, we have the best team.
Aww.
We have the best team possible. Everyone on our team is so amazing.
Everybody.
Like, we're so lucky.
We are. And, yeah.
And everyone works really good together. Like mm-hmm. even Emily, like Emily's, you know, yeah. outside of like technically your team, mm-hmm. but like, yeah. it's like our team, like tandem. Just everyone goes together.
And this includes like even our bookkeeper and our CPA. Yeah. We've been on meetings with the two of them together because mm-hmm. she wants to know our influencer world. He mm-hmm. understands our entity world, and his wife's an influencer as well. She's in the cookie world, nice. But he understands it. She's learning about it. She's excited about it. But everybody, we feel so well supported.
Mm-hmm.
From like everybody.
And so do we. Beth and I just recorded an episode this morning for The Peaceful Entrepreneur for my podcast, and it was Client Red Flags and Green Flags. And when we were listing
that's a
out
good
our green
title.
Flags,
I can't wait to hear
yeah,
that episode.
That's good.
When we were listing out our green flags, we were like, Margaret and Setson, they do that. And we just like kept talking about you guys because y'all are just green flags. And one of the things, like you said, you know, you're talking to people, whenever Beth and I or Luke and I or like whenever we get off calls, we're like, oh, we just love them. Mm-hmm.
We know? Say the same
thing.
Yeah.
I mean, all the time. Thing. Yeah. Such all the time. And when we're putting little boxes together, like I'm putting little writing you little notes and I'm sending you
so
stuff,
sweet.
You know.
Yes.
It just
yes.
it feels so good.
Yeah.
That good. You know, we look forward to meeting you in person one day because we've never officially met any of our team.
Yeah.
Except for
weren't well, we just talking about this? I'm like, Beth, I thought you were like 5'9" or like 5'7".
She's
we were
so tall.
About, she's 5'11", right?
She's so tall.
Oh, no, no, no. Yeah. I thought she was like 5'5". I switched. Yeah. I thought she was
and
like a little
like,
shorter.
What,
and she's tall. Like if I was to meet her in person, I'd be like.
She's taller than me. I'm 5'9". She's 5'11".
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, whoa.
I thought, yeah, we thought.
Yeah.
We
yeah. These
I know,
things.
You would never know.
She would walk in a room and we'd be like, whoa.
I know, right?
We see each other on screen all the time, but we don't really get to see each other and know our, you know, our experiences and yeah.
But what you guys saying, it speaks to the niching down, because like the second layer of my niching was like first it's influencers, then it's package offers, then it's like only these specific things, and they're all like creative and content creation related. And I feel like because I've said, this is what I help you with, then I can just get really good at those things and zone in on those things. So my brain isn't trying to like also mm-hmm. think about organizing your inbox and all of this random stuff. I'm able to support you better because I'm just zoned in on those specific things. Mm-hmm. So that was the most recent form of like niching that I did, because I for a really long time was just like, yeah, whatever you need, we'll find a way to make it happen, and that's not actually going to serve people the best way,
right?
100% Yeah,
I remember you took some time off social recently. And I think that's like such a great way to like clear your head or whatever. Like I obviously don't do that, but
a little hard for you.
Yeah, it's a little bit hard for me to do that. But I'm sure that was part of like a Talk to me a little bit about that, because I've heard a little bit on your podcast of like what you discovered and stuff, but I feel like you mentioned one of those first big shifts as like a business owner, like entrepreneur, like we all go through those. Like we've had so many where we're like, okay, some weird stuff's going on. Like a client drops you, you know, your biggest thing. You're like, okay, don't know why this is happening, but it's one of those shifts again. And then you just like continue to move forward. So what was that time like for you to just sort of step back, and what did you learn? Because I know that was a big shift, because that was what, at the beginning of late last or
November?
I've done a couple. Yeah. Kind of over the holidays last year weeks off. And this past year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know we're kind of jumping ahead and we can go back, but it just was something I was thinking about.
Yeah. I love this question. And it's like the funniest question to me, because it's such a paradox, because, or like whatever the word is, because I literally work with influencers, but I myself have an Instagram ick. And like, I don't
like an oxymoron, huh?
Yeah, yeah, it's hilarious. So ironic, but yeah, it is. You're like, you like, it is just so noisy. There are so many opinions and so many things, and it's so easy to fall into comparison. It's so easy to use it as a distraction, and the more you know, the most I try to keep it in check. I'm only going to be able to do so much, because it's designed to keep you on it.
Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be addictive. So I feel like I have to take those extreme measures of like taking time completely off of it in order to really have any progress in processing. And my brain, like it's just so easy for me to get overwhelmed because I have so many thoughts. Even with social media, right?
Yes.
So I just have had to really keep it in check. So my first social break was in college, and I took like 6 whole months completely off. And then after the client dropped and you guys came on, I took another like month or so break. And then same with this past holiday season, I was just getting a little bit burnt out because of something that had happened within our situation. That I just had to like pick up a lot of slack, and my brain wasn't in a good place. So I needed, again, just if I'm not in a healthy place, I just need to take a step back. And that's my way of taking a step back. And I am such a big proponent for business owners that they need to work in time to think, which sounds so silly, but you actually have to just dedicate time to think, and especially extended periods of time, because what you see is once you quiet the noise and stop all of it, new ideas start coming to you and new ways of processing things start coming to you that would not happen if you still had stuff coming in and coming at you all the time.
Yeah.
I was listening to someone on a podcast recently, and she said exactly that it almost needs to be put into your calendar.
Literally.
To have a time to think, even if it's just a half an hour, with your phone is like locked away in the closet.
Like even just 15 minutes.
Even just 15. But how important that is. You know, when I go back, because I'm old school, you know, I'm 61, so I've seen a lot of life. And I remember back in the days when I was Stetson's age and I was living in Hawaii and I was running a large team for a large joint venture architectural firm. And I had that time. I had Daytimer. I loved Daytimer. I had my task. I'd check them off my little highlighter. And then whatever I didn't complete, I put it to the next day. I had the time to not only think about what I was going to do the next day, but close this day down. And it was so productive. I got so much done. Stetson's dad and I were working together. We would be driving the 45-minute ride back to the other side of the island. We lived on Oahu. And we would talk about how we're going to make what we're doing easier. Because we had one of the first CAD systems on the island, you know, and so I was really good at customizing it. So I had all these ideas, but we had the time rather than talking about what somebody saw on social media or
being on your phone,
being on our phone, like while we're driving in the car.
Yeah. Because if you're on your phone, things are coming at you and you're not thinking.
Yeah. So yeah, I took that for granted almost, because it was just always there. But now we actually, don't we? We have to force ourselves to say, from this time to this time, I'm not letting anything interrupt my thoughts. But I find I even need more time. Like that half hour is just scratching the surface. I probably, like you, it's probably better to just take days or a long weekend intentionally just to allow mm-hmm. thoughts to clear and new ones to come in.
Mm-hmm.
You Absolutely. Know what I mean?
Yeah. This past Monday, I was just feeling overwhelmed. Not anything in particular, just I have a lot I'm processing right now with business growth, with podcast growth, with we're about to buy a house. There's just a lot. And so,
ooh, is that why you might be moving? Because you're about to buy a house?
Yes.
So excited.
We're so excited. But yeah, end of last week, I was like, okay, I gotta just take a minute. And so I cleared my Monday schedule. And I completely took the morning off. And then in the afternoon, I just popped on and did a couple quick things that I needed to do. Mm-hmm. But even just by Monday night, I was starting to get like new ideas and like random right. stuff popping into my head. And it's just the value of taking that break is so huge. So yeah. you have to have this like strategy of being able to take it when you do get overwhelmed, like situationally. But it's also important, you'll be able to minimize that if you work it into your schedule, like you said.
Right.
So whether it's a day a week or a certain portion of each of your days. And then for me, I'm trying a 3-day weekend every quarter and 2 weeks minimum of vacation. One of those being in the summer and one of those being between Christmas and New Year's. I decided I'm just going to make mm-hmm. that a thing. Like I'm just
yeah, that's so great. Well, we were at the Organizers Collective and we were speaking, and one of our friends, Corinne, she's a home organizer in business, very successful business that she has. And she has a coaching courses and everything, but she takes every Friday off. She has 3-day weekends every weekend. Mm-hmm. And her Fridays are she gets her eyelashes done, she does her nails, she needs yes. a massage, she's gonna go have coffee with a friend. That's her day. And she's got kids. She's running a company, but she just made it a priority and she doesn't budge from it. And it's just worked itself out. That's what blows my mind is that
it does.
You're intentional about it. It works out anyway.
It does.
Like, do you really have to work all the time? And
you don't.
No,
you don't. I think, and I'm sure you probably have the same struggle, I guess you could say, which we talk about all the time, but it's like, we love working so much. It's hard for us to like, not work, like especially for my like for our job, like I could always be working, always there's always something to do, or share content or film content or shop on Amazon, like there's always something to do, and I love working, so it's like
yes,
like I would rather like work than like sit and like relax and like you know watch it watch TV show, like I would rather like
do probably stuff. She probably got that from me just watching me, because like the family would be watching a movie and I was doing something else.
Yeah.
I was either organizing something, or I was catching up on some emails, or I was cleaning the kitchen extra good, you know, or mm-hmm. you know, cooking something for tomorrow night, whatever it was. Yeah. But I, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard.
And maybe you don't feel that way, or like feeling guilty for not working, I guess. I don't know. I feel like a lot of people deal with that.
It's the thinking more than the doing.
Yeah,
like, I have a hard time stopping thinking about the business, whether it's mm-hmm. like in the past, it's been like stressed about something going wrong. But now I'm at a better place with that. And it's more like all the ideas and all the potential and all the things
right.
that happen. And, you know, that I just get so carried away. And
yeah.
And so when
little things turn that off. Little mm-hmm. things happen, because I know you had mentioned just a little bit ago about we had one situation in our business relationship. And I feel like that probably put you in a big guilt position that we didn't want you to feel that way, because at all. But as humans, we just do that. You know, we go, right. oh, why didn't I see that coming? Mm-hmm. You know, right. why didn't I, and we just do that all the time. But that's just part of being a human.
But I think the reason why that happened is because we didn't have a spare moment to be like, what are we actually doing? You know what I yeah. mean? Like if we would have yes, like
we were all
thought
crazy.
For a second and be like, you know what? I'm actually spending too much time doing this. This is actually not working. We would have solved the problem like
way earlier.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like it was yes. just because we're going.
I was doing too much too. I was like juggling.
And we didn't actually look at, okay, are these systems working? What do we need to tweak? Like my yeah. big one, like I'm super excited to look into, and I know you're going to look into it too, but it's to like schedule out our content. And I'm just like, I've heard people do it and all these things, but since you brought it up and then Emily brought it up, I'm like looking at that, like this could be a huge like solution, the biggest shift in our business ever. The fact yeah. that we could just schedule all of this out, and then it makes your job yeah. easier, and it makes my job easier. And it's just like another thing, but I just haven't had the room to like think about it at all. Like it just wasn't in the room. It wasn't available. I did not have the mental capacity.
Yeah, you have to force the room. Like you have to actually intentionally cut stuff out or delegate stuff so that you have the space. And I saw you do it. Like I saw you delegating. It was kind of cool. I'm like, oh look, Setson's like someone else can do this.
Rid of stuff. Yeah,
she's delegating.
And it was so good because literally you have to. And I directly saw the impact of that in like how much more brain power I could visibly see from you. So it's important. So, you have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to circle back again to like, why is it good to outsource? And I was attending, there was a 2-day virtual conference in the mastermind group that they're in that they just put together for the Inner Circle members. So I wasn't like really paying attention, but I just had an earbud in or I had my speaker on. I was just kind of listening in very low volume while I was working. And then the Dan Hardy, he was someone that Setson and I saw speak at the Mastermind of Paradise event we went to in Mexico last year. And he spoke to the Inner Circle group only. And it was about his book, of course, how to 10X your business.
10X is better than 2X?
10X is better than 2X. Yes. Do you have that book sitting on your desk? Yeah.
Yeah, so, I'm reading it.
So we got pre-copies, free issues, because he said, I'm giving you all a copy. It's not out yet, but you're the first to get it. So we had it. Please read it. You know, please read this part. Anyway, I revisited that because Russell Brunson had put that into our listening platforms here, because what he did was he just compiled a bunch of things together. I re-listened to that and it kind of got me fired up again, like the importance of delegating, which Setson has been really good at lately, and how it doesn't have to be perfect and you don't have to like control it all the time. And get, how much did he say, get rid of 80% of the things that you think you need to do that's to keep things going in order to make room for the good stuff to come in, and how he had to learn that. So it's fascinating, you know, just bringing this back into the topic of outsourcing and what it did for us when Setson and I were trying to manage all the hats. And by bringing you into our circle as our team and the people that you put in place for us, totally transformed our business and how we work and what we do. And now it's giving more breathing room. Setson's got baby coming, already thinking about, you know, how we're going to be scheduling things perhaps. And you're looking into some of this for us. If we had not made that decision to bring you into our circle and, you know, help us with what we're doing, we wouldn't have changed. We would still be where we were and struggling, which is what, and then with the influencer world,
by hiring us.
And the influencer world is changing all the time. And if we're not keeping up, we're just going to quickly sink in our responsibilities and never be able to move forward.
Yeah. So when people ask what you do, like, how do you explain what you do? Because I'm like, when we talk about you on the podcast, like, they just handle everything we need. You know what I mean? Or like the people, they're like, oh my gosh, they're the best. We just tell them to do this. It gets done. We have systems. You know what I mean? How would you explain? Yeah.
This is the funniest question to me, because I do have a really great way of explaining it now, but I didn't for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people were stuck on the virtual assistant thing. I still get asks for virtual assistant stuff. And I'm like, well, we're kind of that, but we're like a step up.
Yeah.
We're like a specialized. And that's why I took so long to decide on the name, because I couldn't find a word that encompassed what we do. But outsourcing really finally hit for me. And so what we do is we are in a creative outsourcing team for influencers who have built their platform, gotten to a point where they are profitable and everything they're doing feels like too much and they need to get help. And so we come in on the creative end of things, and we have done for you services that we provide for our clients. To the three big things are owning their audience. So if social media were to disappear tomorrow, do you still have a way to stay in contact with your people? Extend your reach so we can get your content further than what you might think to do or have time to do. And then like the lifespan, but also like we can create different types of content off of your core content and exponentially expand your content, and then free up your time is the last thing, because you need to make room if you want to build other businesses or have babies or just literally have some free time, because you just spent all of this time and energy building a business and you want to just chill.
That's so good. I love the definition of that. That makes so much sense.
Now we
and it really does encompass everything you do for us.
Mm-hmm. So we know what you do for us, which is, you know, our the things we talk about on the podcast all the time.
All the things you do. But
there are other things that you do for other influencers too. So maybe you can
do for us.
Yeah, tell what you do for us.
All the things you
we
do.
We might not even don't know.
I will say, you guys are kind of our flagship. So we do the most for you out of anybody. And I feel like working with you guys has really helped us develop that like list of things that we do. So thank you for, you know, letting us experiment with you and figure stuff out, because it's really been helpful. So
that's at what this I'm excited point, about I kind this of... later thing. Sorry to interrupt, but I'm excited about that later thing. So I'm like, okay, let's test this. And if this works, that could be another thing that you can add on with your clients.
Literally,
right?
It's so much
easier. That's what happened with ManyChat.
Yeah.
Literally.
Right. Uh-huh. I mean, yeah, ManyChat. So yeah.
I view it as we have like an a la carte menu of here's all the things we do. You can pick as few or as many as you want, and we'll just get them done. And when our clients come on, it's not a minimum contract. We just come under the understanding that we will work together until it no longer works out well for one or both of us. So it's kind of this ongoing contract. And you can also change your services on a month-to-month basis. So for you guys, you know, when a Prime event comes up, we're probably going to do 3 extra emails that month, you know, so we can kind of edit and change as time goes, because I invoice monthly. So our main services, we have like 5 main ones, which is email newsletters, and we will plan them with you on a monthly basis, plan out all the content, and then we write and design them. And you have a chance to give feedback, and then we send them to your people. And we work only in Flowdesk for that, because it's so cute. And we've gotten really good at that one platform. So, and then second to that would be blogs. And so same deal. We plan it with you, and then we write it and design it and put it on your website. And we also make sure that it's SEO optimized. So all the gals on my team, the funny part of Abide outsourcing is you're outsourcing to me and I'm outsourcing to my team. So it's this little inception moment. But we have currently 3 girls on our team. And then we have Luke, who does all of our tech stuff. So any back end programming, editing, I'll get to that kind of stuff. But our girls do all of the copywriting, graphic design, social media management kind of stuff, because they all have background in that. And they all pretty much identify when they came to me, they were copywriters, which is cool because they have that specialty. And that's why I'm explaining that with, you know, specifically with this email and blog piece, like they are trained copywriters. Right. Beth has a bachelor's degree in English. So
And it that's makes their specialty. A difference.
Even just posting stories, because it's like, you know, everyone talks in a different way. So that's like what I love about our assistant Beth right now. She literally just takes our language. You would never guess that it's not, you know, me writing, me posting that story.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Huge priority for us. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's why it's a step higher than VAs, because it's like, you've got specialized people doing this for you.
Yeah.
That are representing us in ways that, that no one is nobody really knows, because it's such a smooth transition. Everything just looks and sounds like the brand.
Right. That's the goal. And the girls, you know, they all have experience with graphic design and in social, just because if you're starting an online business, you're probably doing something like that for the first little while.
Yeah.
So they do the cute little graphics on the emails and the blogs and stuff like that. So those are our copywriting services. And then we kind of get into like how we can help you with your social media. So we have a collage graphics service where we will pull products from your Amazon storefront and create that cute little collage. And then we can post it again with the lifespan. We'll put it on your storefront, stories, broadcast channels, Pinterest, TikTok, like we can put it anywhere. And in addition to that, we also, and this I think was originated by you guys, the deals of the day service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we will pull, again, either items from your Amazon storefront or just Amazon items that align with your brand, and post 8 to 10 deals a day. And we have three places. So stories is one, broadcast channels is another, and Facebook group is another. Mm-hmm. So we can do any or all of those for our clients.
And even broadcast is a new thing. Like, we just started doing broadcast, but now I feel like that's awesome that you're like, okay, great. If you don't have a broadcast, let's set this up and we can share deals. Yeah. I love that. That's just like your, one of your things that you do now. That's so cool.
I know. Deals is just a service.
Yeah.
And ManyChat plays a big role in all of that, which I know you were the one, you yourself has been the one figuring out the nuances of ManyChat and how to get it to do more, and, you know, all the little challenges that come along with learning a new platform like that. But I know now that that's a service that you can provide to your other influencers. And I know we've been a lot of the guinea pig on that because we were kind of discovered it through you. And then, well, let's figure this out. And it's been wonderful.
I feel like I've been wrestling a beast.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Like, it is quite the platform, but it's got so many positives and so much potential. And I feel like that's our up and coming service because it's just catching on and everyone's using it, and it's probably not going to go away ever. Mm-hmm. And it's a way more, you'll get way more return and way more link clicks by using that than if you're directing people to your bio or to your stories, because it's an immediate DM.
Yeah.
And all they have to do is click the little notification and then there they are.
Mm-hmm.
So we have
figuring out the kinks for all.
Yes, exactly. We've learned how to, you know, plug it into a normal post or story, but really the giveaway sequence, I think, is like such a secret sauce to being an influencer. Because we have seen such return with you guys, with getting people on your email list, into your Facebook group, etc.
It's crazy.
It's been wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. And go, just like referencing our email list, when we first started with you, we were probably around 5,000 emails maybe. And then now we're close to 30,000.
Yeah, but emails. We literally like doubled that in since December.
Because it was like the 10K. Giveaways.
We were like at 10K and now we're almost at 30.
Yeah. Because of the giveaways in combination with
using that ManyChat sequence.
With ManyChat.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. So ManyChat, I think, is something that like will be a really good integration for people, and we're able to not charge too much for it. So it's a good like entry point for us too, if you don't have a lot of budget to start with. So definitely putting some energy into building that out as a service, and you know what else we can do with it. Another, like along the similar lines, that I'm also looking into Metricool to maybe optimize the process, but we'll redistribute your content. Again, you guys started this one too. So you send
huge need.
Us your reels and we put them on Facebook, TikTok, LTK, Amazon storefront, and Pinterest. Did I say Pinterest?
Pinterest, yep.
And you said Facebook. And
then we don't do YouTube shorts for you guys, but we could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. YouTube has been giving us grief. We'll see if we can figure it out.
Okay.
But yeah, that's been one of the biggest, I think, game changers, or for just like, as influencers, if you're going to look at anything, that would be, in my opinion, the first thing that I would outsource, just because like it takes so much time. And again, we're looking at these scheduling tools, so maybe we don't have to do that anymore, but it takes so much time to go on every single platform. But obviously, I mean, that one video, if you're able to distribute it, you're going to reach 10 times the people, you know, putting it on all these platforms. Yeah. So you might as well, but it takes so much time to do. That's like taking such a work, like load off me. Like it's the best.
And Luke is so techie that he just has his system and he knocks it out every day. Yeah. And it's just like no big deal to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. His brain is designed for that, which is why you make such a good team, because you both have your unique skill sets. you're very compatible. And then because you're working, living together, you know, you can talk about things if you, you know, figure it out on the fly. But he has his own amazing skill sets. He's direct. He really does. He's clear. He's good at answering and asking questions and the little things that he does for us. And I know he does your podcast, right? And all the techie part of that. And he created the intro music for you.
Yes.
And he does like YouTube short uploads, or maybe upload videos too for other influencers that are on YouTube. So he does more with other services for your business than what we even use.
That would be there are two left that are the two that y'all don't use, which are editing for YouTube videos and for podcasts. So that works out well because a lot of influencers will have one or both of those. And so he'll edit and upload as well, because that's just annoying to like send it to you just so you can upload it. So we'll just cut that step out and we upload it for you. And that saves so much time. I mean, I know you guys edit your own podcast. It takes double to triple the amount of time, the amount of length that the podcast is to edit it. So that is like an ultimate, like huge way to free up your time as an influencer. And he edits short form too. So he could edit reels and stuff if you needed it.
They do it all.
Do it all.
So the when you're looking, and going back to what we originally talked at the very beginning of like niching down, when you're looking to bring someone on, because we've sent you people too. Like, I think for us, like we always talk obviously amazingly about you, but we don't normally give like people your info unless we're like, okay, I think this would be a good fit. Like, we kind of get how you work, and I work like for us, we're like, okay, if we really have like a similar vibe, like Vikita, I think was one of the and first DeVita. People we send to you, and DeVita, like I feel like that would be a good fit. But what are you looking for when you're bringing on a new client? And I think it's really good to be picky, because I mean, what are you looking for?
I would say an established influencer that like has that drive to get bigger, like you guys do. Like, you're always thinking of the next thing that you want to work on and do. And like, we're a perfect pair for you then, because we're going to jump on board and be just excited about your growth as you are. And we'll be able to help propel you together faster than you could by yourself. So I think that drive and like the potential that we could grow with you is really huge. And I don't know how big you guys are on intuition, but I can like get on a call with someone and feel pretty quickly if we're going to jive. And that's really important, because like I said, we are working on an ongoing basis. There's not an end in sight. So, and we're talking every single day, pretty much. So I need to make sure that like we just jive as people in general, and have similar like ways that our brains work and that kind of thing. So I feel like those are like really two big ones.
Yeah, that's kind of what you're looking for. And I know there's a huge trust, a huge level of trust there. Like, you and the team, you know, everybody's logged into all of our accounts, and we're super paranoid about having just anybody log in for obvious reasons, you know, because I feel like, you know, we have so much faith in you and the team, and there, the trust is just, it's there. And I'm sure it goes both ways. Like, you also put that trust in us that we are going to deliver, or we're going to communicate, or whatever it is that you need from us goes hand in hand. And, and I feel like perhaps, you know, all the skills that you acquired when you were studying to be an interpreter, maybe a lot of that intuition comes from there too, because then that also gives the ability to speak like these influencers and kind of understand intuitively what they need. Cause we're all a little bit different. We're all influencers, but we all have our own style, our own taste, our own language. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and that we, you know, that trust factor is there, because it's just so important, and it goes both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you listed all the services you cover, but one that I wanted to just like stress on, cause it's like, we're passing off so many things to you, but also you're basically like managing us and our entire
team.
That's
the other piece. Yes, you are. That, like,
so I'm like, let's talk about Asana and like all of that.
Yeah.
Like, we're not telling you, you know, of course, when we add something on, we're like, okay, let's dive into this. Let's experiment this. I need this. But like on a day-to-day basis, you have our entire team managed and you're telling us what to do. We have assigned tasks. Like, talk about that, because that's been another game changer, just to keep everything organized. And I know we're constantly like adding new things onto that. Like, we're experimenting with a story one right now. We're just like thinking of new ways that we can collaborate and just share ideas easier. But that's been like a huge, huge thing for us, that we don't have to have that mental load of like, okay, I need to tell, you know, my assistant to do this. Like, you just make sure that it gets done. Like, you're managing us. Like, which is the best thing ever. I'm like, Amy, tell me what to do. I don't know. What are we doing?
Or remind me, what is I supposed to do again?
Yeah.
What were my responsibilities for that blog?
Which takes off such a mental, so much mental load for us. Yeah.
I would love to find a way to like work this into my marketing and sales, because it is a really unique feature. Mm-hmm. And I don't like it, y'all can maybe help me figure out how to like work that in. But another reason why I feel like it was hard for me to describe what we do for so long is because I have literally just made it up as I've gone.
Yeah.
And
that's okay. I feel like everyone does that in business. You just make it till you make it.
All
you just
entrepreneurs.
Make it up. And there's nothing to compare it to. Like, I did not model this after anything. And I've just literally built it to fit my personality and my skills and the needs of my clients. And the system that I see working to make it scalable, you know? Mm-hmm. So that, yeah, this extra piece is, I actually don't do any of the work for our clients. It's all done by our three girls and by Luke. And so that allows me to, one, run my business. So, because running takes a lot of work, but it allows me to manage the business. I kind of view my role as two-pronged, the actual founder and CEO, and then the day-to-day business manager. And so that's kind of more what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So we have, it's really just because my brain is organized and I like to stay organized, and I'm going to go crazy if it's not. but
that's
helps
so
you guys
important
too.
To have though with this type of thing.
Yeah, there's like, so many moving parts, because there's multiple services that you're hiring us for, and then we have multiple clients. So it exponentially increases what there is to manage. So there has to be some way to keep it straight. So limiting the services is number one. Making the services like package, like deliverable based, not time based, was also a second key to that. And then having this task management system, Asana, which is great. I know people like other stuff. This is just kind of what I landed on and it works well, but I have an Asana project board for each client, and every single team member and client that is involved in that project is on that board. And then I put every single to-do that anyone has in there, and I'm able to assign it to each person and put it on a certain date. And then, so after each monthly meeting that we have, I have a little task to update Asana on my list. So then I'll go and make sure that everything that we discussed in the meeting is reflected in Asana. And that way everybody knows what's coming up and what needs to be done. I set tasks to be repeating as much as possible to like kind of limit my work there. But then I actually do go in every day to Asana, which you guys probably notice, because I'll like say something to you if you haven't done something. Mm-hmm.
Which is great, because I go on Asana, but I don't use it as much. Yeah. Like, and so it's great to be like, hey, make sure you do this, which is what I love. Like, that's the way that I work. Like, I have my little planning tools. Everyone works differently. But you're like, hey, you didn't send this. I'm like, oh, perfect. I'm doing it right now. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I need.
Yeah.
Those little reminders sometimes.
I do too. I definitely do better with alarms and reminders. So I like the little email reminders, and it tells me what's coming up. And I go, okay.
Helps. Yes. It's also just nice to know that everything we've talked about and everything that like our team, you know, is supposed to be doing is getting done. You know what I mean? Like that's the best part. Cause it's like, okay, great. We're going to post these stories. We're doing this. We're doing this. I don't need to worry about if it's getting done or not.
Yeah, that's and true.
Or to remember to make sure that it's getting done.
Right. And in this world, this influencer world, as you said, there are so many moving parts, and some of those moving parts just come just out of nowhere. And then we have this new bit, but you are our time management system. That's what Abide is doing for us. Our time management system, so that we don't forget anything, especially now, like we're doubling up for maternity leaves because Beth is going to be taking her maternity leave. Our listeners know that one of our team members is also the same due date as Stetson, but we're gearing up for her break. So we're doubling up on things. We have new responsibilities. It would be impossible to try to keep track of that. I mean, that's more than a full-time job to keep track of that. But what you have done by using systems like Asana and the new Slack channel that you opened up for us, because we were using Voxer, so you switched us over to Slack. And those tools are what's keeping us on task, holding us accountable for what we need to do, but so we don't forget anything, because if one thing gets forgotten, like the whole thing could come crashing, you know, because then we would get bottled up, bogged down. You know what I mean? Without you're our time management system.
I love that. I think that it's how my brain naturally works. And eventually I will probably hire someone to do the day-to-day managing as I build businesses, as I have babies. And that is like one of the biggest things to look for, is that they are naturally going to be able to just listen and pull out, this needs to be done, this needs to be done, this needs to be done. Because that's what I'm doing the entire time we're in a meeting. I don't know if you've noticed lately, I've tried to talk less, and I'm just writing. I'm either typing in Asana or I'm writing a sticky note. Like, I am just absorbing and writing down what needs to happen.
Yeah.
And
you're so good at that too. We rely on you.
Yeah.
Because we're in the creative moment, or our minds are just spilling out stuff and, you know, it's just coming out and we're in the flow.
Yeah.
Not thinking about, oh, so somebody be writing this down,
right?
You know? And
that's the zone of genius thing that I really want to hit on, is hiring us allows you to work in your zone of genius because you can hand off the things that aren't.
Yeah.
And even the delineation between my role and my contractor's roles, they tell me the same thing you tell me. I love that you just tell me what to do. I'll just show up to the meeting and then I'll look at Asana and I'll check off my things. And the fact that it's separated, that it's not one person having to do the analyzing and writing stuff down and assigning stuff and then doing the stuff, that's what kills me, is having to do all of it. But if I'm staying in my zone and just doing my stuff, then you can do your stuff and they can do their stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's like what I want for influencers, like from working with us, is like, you're really good at what you do. There's a reason that you've gotten so big. So I just want you to be able to do that. Like, just stick with what you're good at. Stetson, like, you power those videos out, right? And that's your thing. Like, you need to keep doing that. You cannot be replaced there.
Right.
So let me just take care of everything else for you.
Yeah, no, for sure. And another one I was thinking of is, like, as an example, I rarely look at LTK and Pinterest, like, but you guys like are posting on there every day. And I just go in there and I'm like, oh my gosh, this looks so great. Our blogs are up there. We got collages. We got videos. I love the interaction, like, on that. I'm just like, LTK, oh my gosh, we have 10,000 followers on there now. Like, I've never looked into LTK ever. I'm just like, I'm not about it. I don't want to look into it, but we have this content. We might as well be posting on there, and we make money on there. You know what I mean? It's not a huge income maker, but we're making money on there. That is something that I would not ever be able to do, like, without having you. And again, I rarely look at it. I look at it probably a few times a month, just because I'm like, oh, we do have LTK. Let me see how that's going. What are the sales? What are this? And I'm like, this is so great. You know,
amazing. The magic of outsourcing, because I actually outsource, like, I have a bookkeeper. I'm looking into a VA for our podcast. So I'm also outsourcing while I am being outsourced too. But that's the magic, is that first moment, or however many subsequent, of like, that just happened and I didn't even do anything.
Yeah. Like, well, even during this podcast, so cool. We have Beth posting all of our stories. Yeah. Like, she's uploading the video. She's posting in the broadcast group. We're announcing the big spring sale. I didn't have to do anything but send a quick Slack. Hey, here's the link for the spring sale. Do this. Couple questions. And she got all of that done while we're doing this podcast. Our links are being shared. Like, people are shot, like, done.
And now that she's sharing our podcast too, I have seen an increase in listens. Just like overnight. Soon, I mean, because we've talked about this on the podcast. Like, we don't talk about the podcast people who know it's here know it's here. And we have dedicated listeners.
So
but now that she's just, you know, we decided that one day we're going to start sharing it every Monday. She's just going to do a post on story, and a story post. And it's easy, like peasy. Magic. Yeah. The whole thing is magical. Cool. Mm-hmm. All these little parts and pieces are getting done, and it's helping across the board. It's just helping us get more reach, more people. I was like tallying up how many followers we have, like, over across the board. We have like 1.5 million people that follow us on the different platforms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just fun to look at, like, it's just fun to look at our journey. Cause like you said, like, you, when we started with you, you were going through a big business transition. And I feel like we were too, because I was doing we were both doing everything. We didn't even have a brand manager that yet. Like, we were repurposing everything and just like looking at where we were in 2022 to now. Like, we have, this year, when we did our New Year's podcast, when we go back and sort of look at the year, we were saying this year is the first year that we felt like we have our systems in place. Like really, really solid. Like, obviously last year we were working with you, it's been amazing, but we feel like this year, especially like moving into 2024, we have so many amazing systems in place. Everything's working smoothly. Like, a big one for us was our bookkeeper last year. You know, there's just been these different things that we've just had to figure out, but
it takes time.
Yeah. Cause last year we got a new bookkeeping team. We got a new CPA, you know, we just made all these changes. So we've had like a full year of building, you know, that was successful, but then, and all the travel that we did last year while we were developing systems for that, because we're on the road a lot, we need systems to make it easier because we're traveling so much, and how can we hone down and just streamline? And it does, it feels like a breath of fresh air. Stetson's baby's coming soon, and we have so many automations now and things to remind us to do whatever it is we need to do. And it feels like, yeah, this is going to be a year of course, it's always a new year of change and transition, but it just feels like we're in a really good starting point. The things are working. It nothing feels iffy.
Like, the things are working where we can try new things now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I'm sure it's great for you to see that as well. Cause I know, like you said, it's been a transition. There's been some things that we've had to drastically change, and we're just like an ever flowing thing. But
we've been the guinea pig in a lot of ways.
But I love that we have been the guinea pig, because we love trying and testing. And if something doesn't work out, that's totally fine. We need, you know, have a different solution for it.
And you know us, we're good at pivoting too. If something's not working, we're totally fine with pivoting.
Yeah.
Let's try something new. I mean, we're in this for the long haul, and we love the relationship we have because we know you're in it for the long haul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it might change. I might hire a manager, but whoever I bring in, I'm going to make sure the standard is there. So it's like,
exactly.
Yes. We know we're in good hands.
You're going to scale.
We're in good hands with Abide.
Yeah,
for sure.
So what's like this year? Like, what are your goals? Cause I'm curious. I want to know what your goals are for this year.
That's a good question. It's funny. Yeah. It ties into exactly what we were saying. I feel like I'm like just a couple steps behind you guys in like business stage.
Yeah.
Because I feel like our internal like day-to-day management, client management systems are fantastic. Obviously, like, you guys are a testament to like things are going great. But a couple of those things, like, I want to have like formal quarterly analytics reports for you guys and for our own records. And I want to have a more like automated and formal onboarding process and sales and, you know, all of those little project management and operations and team and client management. My goal is just to polish them and make them the best they can be. So a few things that like are in progress but could be better, and then a few things that aren't there yet but I want to introduce. So I have a list, and I was very ambitious at the beginning of this year that I was like, okay, first half of the year I'm going to dedicate, I split my days. So in the mornings I take time to think and be a CEO and run my business. In the afternoons is my management time. So that's been my new schedule for this year. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to take my mornings and I'm going to chip away at these things. And for the first half of the year, that's what I'm going to do. And they'll be set up by the time we hit the word that shall not be named.
Let's not talk.
So that was my thought. And also knowing that we would be moving sometime mid-year, you know, so wanting to kind of focus on that until things get crazy for multiple reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And actually just over the last 2 weeks, the short of it is I've realized that I just can't do it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I just have this kind of, and it's a good quality to have as a business owner of like, I'll just figure it out. But it's also to a fault sometimes that I think I can figure stuff out. And I just basically realized that in this specific scenario, it's going to be way smarter for me to bring someone in to help look in, analyze the systems, make them better, and then start the new ones, who has worked for corporate and managed $500,000 projects and knows about all of these systems.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, I don't feel like I have the brain power to do everything that I want to do. That was realization number one. Realization number two is, even if I had the brain power, I'm not the best person for the job because I would be starting from ground up. I don't have experience with it, right? So that's kind of what I've landed on. And I have found someone who I'm going to bring in, and basically she's going to consult, but she's also going to help with all of the strategy and implementation. So the goal is still happening. All the systems are going to be polished and hopefully in place still within the first half of this year. I'm just going to be partnering with someone else to do it instead of doing it by myself, which honestly probably wouldn't have been able to accomplish it by myself in that time frame anyways.
For sure.
So the goal there is to get that set so that in the second half of the year, one, moving, two, the podcast, I view my podcast as a second business, and I have a lot of ideas for offers and things that I want to develop for that, because currently it's not monetized, but I'd like to get there so I can spend time on that. And then moving into 2025 is probably when we're going to think about kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize that it's a luxury and a privilege, but I would love to have it set up that I don't have to be in the business every day when I get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know how sick I might be. And if I can make the provision to just be able to take the day if I need it, I'm going to. So having the systems in place by then and things running well by then will allow me to bring somebody in to an already established and well-oiled machine. And so that's kind of the this year
that's awesome.
Into next year goal.
You got a plan, girl. I got a plan.
You know I got a plan.
And your plans are good plans too. You know?
No, but again, that's like where your business is right now is where we were when we were bringing you on. Cause we're like,
yeah,
okay, I can't, you know, like you said, I can't be doing everything. And even though we want to do everything, like we can figure anything out. As entrepreneurs, we are doing 100 things at once,
mm-hmm.
but you have to delegate, you have to pass off in order to grow. So that's why we hired you. And now that your business is at a point where you can bring on more people, that bringing in that one person will, I mean, I'm just really excited to see what that does for your business. You know what I mean? Overall.
Me too.
And how that will change and grow. So just because you're an outsourcing company doesn't mean you can't outsource yourself.
Like, oh yeah.
And that's how your business should be going. You should be growing and adding people, which is really exciting. I love that.
Yeah.
And then the more people that you bring in, the more experiences they bring in, the more skills you can offer to us as influencers. And,
yeah.
No?
Yeah, and she's so good. I feel like ideas.
You're just, that's one of your talents, one of your superpowers, is you just know people so well. And maybe it just goes back to because you know who you like to work with, but it goes deeper than that. Like there is definitely some intuitive superpower that you have to just pull out like and work with great people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Super sweet of you. Thank you.
So you have, tell us what you have your podcast. Where can people find you? Give us all the info. And anything else you wanted to share?
Yeah, if there's an influencer listening to this who is like, yes, please sign me up for all of those things, abideoutsourcing.com, it gives you all of the info that you need and kind of outlines those services. And then we have a right fit form that you can fill out that basically kind of can help you kind of self-diagnose, but also help us figure out if you're a good fit for us. So that's a bit of a questionnaire. And the podcast I started a year ago, it's called The Peaceful Entrepreneur. And it is a mindset-based podcast because I believe that like your mindset as an entrepreneur is the most important thing and the most foundational thing to success before anything that you actually do. And I've been on my own journey for 3 years now, and I really view it as like a really cool way to process and bring what I learn with Abide and then share it with other people and help them maybe find peace quicker than I did, or not have to go through some of the hard things that I did, or just have like somebody there along the way. Mm-hmm. So that is The Peaceful Entrepreneur on all platforms, including YouTube. And then it's still under our Abide website. So it's abideoutsourcing.com/podcast. And that's like our little landing page. But Instagram is at Abide Outsourcing and at The Peaceful Entrepreneur. Pretty straightforward.
I love it. Yeah.
And I will put all of your links into the show notes for this episode so people can find you.
Yeah. This has been so fun to chit chat with you, Amy, because like we said, we talk to you every day. We voice memo back and forth. We got our Slacks going and we have our amazing team meetings that we do. But it's just, yeah, it's just really fun to sit down and like know a little bit more about you and like hear more about like what you're thinking about in your business. And it's just, it's really cool to hear. And we're just really, really grateful and excited for what this journey will continue to be with you. Because it's been amazing so far, and it's been really great.
And we do feel like we're on this journey together, because as we're evolving and growing and changing, it's happening together. And we could get so personal about it and talk about it and be real. Mm-hmm. And we just feel so good. We're so fortunate to have found you. And yes, the gratitude's just oozing out of us. Mm-hmm. How grateful we are
exactly
to both you
the
and
same
Luke.
Way. Yes, we feel the same way. Beth, Luke, everybody, we love working with you guys. We're so grateful for everything that we've learned and had the opportunity to be exposed to through you guys, all the connections you've given us. I've gone back and texted Jen and been like, I will never be able to thank you enough for this connection, because it's just been so great. And
it's funny, huh? It's like how Bob Proctor, I think, used to say about how you look back in through a telescope, but you connect all the dots of how you get to where you are. And how we work with Jen with such a short period of time, and the way we found her, but we meant to have her so we could have you.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know. And I think about that client that broke up with me. Like, I thought they were like the end all be all and it was the end of the world. And now I have you guys, and I'm exploring a new referral partner connection that I only met because I knew them. And it's like, amazing. It all has a purpose.
It all does. Everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does.
Thanks for listening to the Everything Envy podcast.
If you love this episode, then please take a moment and give it a 5-star review and share it with your friends.
And if you're not yet following Everything Envy on social media, all the links and our favorite business resources are waiting for you in the show notes for this episode.
Until next time, have an amazing day.